And once again, my favorite part of the week, because it starts on a Monday, especially when things are going a little bit crazy, is to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, and talk about one of my favorite subjects, food. Good morning, Arthur. How are you?
I'm okay, and I know that's one of your favorites. We have this problem together.
That's right.
Oh. My world whirls around food.
You know, when I was a kid, my father used to always bring us out on stage late in shows and stuff when we were traveling around, and I'd always be the one there with the black pants and the white shirt, and there'd be stains on the white shirt.
Well, you started early.
Yes, he did.
I really did.
I didn't need to wear a bib until I was 40.
Remember lobster bibs?
Oh, gosh, yeah, sure.
But we have to remember them. They don't exist anymore.
They do exist.
They must exist.
They do.
You would think they exist.
That's
I
right.
Know.
I just remember.
I have no trouble tying a napkin.
A napkin, that's right.
Right. No, I understand. I just always like the idea. It's like, okay, older people, here you go. Bib up. Well, this is your segue to tuna fish.
And everybody's wondering, how did she know he wanted to talk about tuna fish?
Because she's psychic.
We have a little chat before we go on air. Well, I am going to talk about tuna fish.
But not for the whole show.
Let me just say, I woke up this morning and said, oh, my God, what am I going to talk about today? And fortunately, I wake up early enough that I have some time to figure it out. And the first thing that came to mind was something I've been making like once a week with a can of tuna fish. And just the other night, Bob said to me, you do a lot of great things with a can of tuna fish. So that I heard this morning, that's what I'm going to talk about. But let me first start talking about the tuna itself. Let's start by, I buy yellowfin tuna. They say it's yellowfin tuna. I'm not so sure. In olive oil. Genova brand, Genova, sold in the supermarket. It's been in the supermarket for 1,000 years. I'm sure that in the beginning, since it's called Genova, it was probably Italian tuna fish, but I don't think in the U.S. we get, except the imported jarred stuff that's usually expensive. I can talk about that in a second. We don't get our normal tuna from Italy. So, in fact, Genova, if you look at the bottom of the can, whether it's in the supermarket, I buy mine at Costco, and the reason I buy it there besides the price and that I use quite a bit of tuna, I mean, we have it a couple times a week, one way or another, the cans are still 7 ounces. The cans in the supermarket, I do believe, are down to 5 ounces. I did a little research in my own very own Arthur Schwartz written files, and I find that in the year 2009, I wrote that they were switching down to a smaller size can, and I actually went into a supermarket where they had both 5 ounce and 6 ounce cans. So I think the old can in the supermarket was in fact 6. Now they're down to 5. The Costco can is 7 ounces. So it's a big can of tuna, enough for 2 grown men to do something with it. In any case, tuna is extremely healthy. Even canned tuna is extremely healthy. The Genova brand is now coming from Thailand. And if you look at the bottom of the can, it'll tell you where it's from. I've been tracking this for about a year or so, and I find that most often it's from Thailand. But I did come across a run of Ecuador. Now, in Ecuador, they might very well be raising yellowfin tuna, but in Asia, in the Southern Pacific, well, maybe that's not considered Southern Pacific, Thailand, where this is coming from, that part of the world, mostly Thailand, they are canning tongal tuna and skipjack tuna. Now, why this is good to know, besides that this can says yellowfin, and I somehow don't think from Thailand it's yellowfin. But maybe it is. These are yellowfin as well, by the way. These are smaller tunas that they may live, 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, they don't live a very long time, and they don't get all that big. So they have less mercury than do than let's say bluefin tuna, or the really large tunas. Because, for one thing, they live to be much older. I mean, I think I read somewhere that tuna can live to be 40 years old, but the more average is like 20 years. But still, that's a long time for them to collect a lot of heavy metals in an increasingly heavy metal environment called the ocean. So in Italy, by the way, they are, I mean, I think they have bluefin in Italy, and there's plenty of tuna in the Mediterranean waters. Sicily, I mean, by the way, Italians eat a lot of fresh tuna as well as canned tuna. Canned tuna packed in olive oil from Italian tuna is very expensive. I mean, a 7-ounce jar of Calipo is a brand that I buy, Calipo, which is from Calabria. Because the tuna come up through the Straits of Messina, which is Sicily, up the coast. This is part of their migration, up the coast of Italy, and they're caught in abundance in Calabria, where they can them. And there are other brands that are very good, too. Anyway, that could be like $13 for a 7-ounce jar of tuna. If you buy the Ventresca, which is the really rich belly meat from the tuna, it could even be more. It's worth it, I think. But this is not tuna that you mix with mayonnaise, though. This is tuna you eat for tuna's sake. So I use a lot of tuna. And one of the things I do is make plain old tuna salad with mayonnaise and very often celery. Depends. But I just bought myself a new Cuisinart mini processor.
Yes.
So I have to play with it, of course.
Of course.
And I actually been twice now have made tuna in there, using it to mix the tuna, which you, of course, first I do the celery, get it real fine, and then I put in the tuna and a glunk, maybe a big glunk, of mayonnaise, and that's it. Let it spin. It's almost like a pate in the end. Normally, you know, my tuna salad, according to Sidel, my mother, you just mashed it up really a long time with the tines of a fork and some mayonnaise, and that was that. Depends on how much time you had to mix it, whether or not you got it fine or was a little chunky. But I tell you, there's this reminded me when I was thinking about this morning, that I used to make, and I'm going to make again now because I have the ingredients in the house. Sorry I didn't make it yesterday when I had a little what to cook when there's nothing in the house moment. And I think I'm pretty sure this recipe is in the Southern Italian Table. I mix my tuna, not just with mayonnaise, but with some pickled vegetables, like giardiniera, which is a mix of pickled cauliflower. This is the usual. I mean, you can buy giardiniera in a jar in the supermarket, or you can buy it in an Italian market where they're just dumping a jar full into a stainless steel tray and then selling it loose. But whatever way you buy it, by the way, it lasts for years in the refrigerator in its brine. So it's usually a mix of carrots, red pepper, cauliflower, celery, and those little green peppers aren't really all that hot, but can be. And I just make about, let's say, for a 7-ounce can of tuna, which you're not going to find except, you know, at Costco. So let's say a 5-ounce can of tuna, I would use about a half a cup of these vegetables. See if you can get like one piece of everything and then add whatever you think you like best. And the carrots are always good, I find. And you chop that up, and then you add your tuna and mayonnaise. It's really delicious, and it's tangy because you got a little hot pepper in there, but also the vinegar vegetables. And if you care to, that's, by the way, delicious as a sandwich, tuna. But, or, you know, on top of some salad or lettuce with maybe cut-up tomatoes and cucumber, whatever. But also, I pack it into those little Pepidou peppers. Now, if you can tolerate really, really hot peppers, and you can find tiny pickled hot peppers, like cherry peppers, you could pack that into cherry peppers. It would be a bombshell. Actually, a little bombs. But I like those Pepperdew, which are a little hot but mainly sweet, and they're small, and they come already cored, and all you have to do is take a teaspoon and pack this tuna mixture inside and put them out on a tray. They look gorgeous. If you have some kind of company and you want to be impressed, but with nothing but tuna fish, there it is.
Arthur, can I ask you a question about tuna fish? I like tuna fish salad.
But you're brand specific.
But I'm not. It's not brand specific, but it's got to be solid white tuna. Now, what's the difference?
What can I say? This is a matter of taste. Yeah. I can't change your taste. Probably you've been eating it so many years. If you had what I buy is solid light tuna in olive oil, you might cringe.
Yeah, I would.
It's too tuna-y for him.
It's amazing. I don't like. You know what it is? It's the color.
Well, the color's fake.
The color?
Yeah.
Yeah, but once you mix it up with mayonnaise and vegetables,
I know. I think if I don't see it before it's made, I would probably eat it.
Well, but I don't like white albacore tuna. I certainly don't like white albacore tuna in water. I can deal with it packed in oil. I drain the oil from the can, even on my light tuna. Actually, a thing I learned from my mother, when you take the top off, don't throw it away.
You hold
it back on and use it to press the oil out of the tuna.
I think we all learned that from our mothers, because that was that was the coolest thing.
So, you know, in fact, white tuna, by the way, is no healthier than light tuna. And most tuna, I was surprised to learn this recently, that most tuna bought in the U.S. is actually light tuna. And I think I'm just speculating here. I'm thinking that maybe it's because it's less expensive than white tuna, and a lot of people eat tuna because it's economical.
Yep.
It's certainly an economical, in the end, even as expensive it's become, it's still an economical way to eat fish, because fish is astronomically expensive. I mean, fresh tuna in my market, and who knows if it's how fresh it is, I mean at the regular fish market, not at the green market, you know, not at the farmer's market where they sell recently harvested tuna, but it's $25-$26 a pound.
Yeah.
No, it's crazy.
Is that what it is in Sharon?
Oh, if not higher.
If not higher.
If not higher. Yeah. Because, of course, a little bit more transportation is required to get it to Sharon.
Right.
Could be $30 a pound.
And there's also not as many places to get it up here. So.
Well, believe me, you have to be really choosy where you get it here, too.
So the long short is you're right.
In the summer, there's a lot of tuna fished in Montauk, the end of Long Island, and you probably get some of this fish too. In years past, I don't know what it's going to be like now or what it was like last year, but the Japanese come to buy the tuna and they take the best specimens and send them to Japan. But I have a fish stand at my farmer's market where they do sell fresh Long Island tuna, and it's sensational, and you're sort of willing to pay the price. But if I go to a fish store, I don't know how old that is, or if it was previously frozen, which is a likely situation. And the same thing with sushi bars. I mean, almost all the fish in sushi bars these days is frozen fish. Not to say it wasn't well cared for until it got to the freezer,
right,
and well cared for once it was frozen, but, yeah, previously frozen fish.
And that's before you
get
to
the... nothing improves in the freezer except maybe ice cream.
And that's before you get to the DNA testing of what the fish actually is. But going back for one second.
Well, you know, there are so many species of tuna. I forget how many, but there are a lot of species of tuna. And within the tunas family or species, there are a lot of different tunas. In fact, I don't think tangol, which is one of the main kinds of tuna put in cans, and skipjack, one of those is not actual true tuna, and I'm trying to think which one it is. One of them is called bonita in Italy. It's not even called tuna.
Right. So just going back to the economic aspect, that was even remembering Sunshine Supermarket on Hurdle Avenue in Buffalo, New York. Thank you all very much. There was a price differential between the solid white and the light and the...
Yeah. Well, light is less expensive,
yes,
and solid, but solid light, not, I mean, it's not, there is no such thing as solid light. There's only chunk light, or I don't know what they call the other one.
I don't remember.
I don't know, but it's, I don't like it. So, you know, it's little bits and pieces. Even if I'm going to make it bits and pieces myself in a tuna salad, I don't think it's the same quality. It's less expensive. I'm sure it's not the same quality. Anyway, enough with tuna for the moment. Except that I have to say, this is something I never would eat in the winter, but I have eaten it a lot this past winter, was I chop up, because of Campari tomatoes, because of those tomatoes that are so nice and sweet and reliable if they're from Mexico. So I chop those up. I dice them up, actually, in a nice, neat way with my special tomato knife, which makes it all very easy. And for about a cup of diced tomato, I would add a heaping tablespoon of salted capers, which I've soaked to get rid of some of the salt, a few olives chopped up. I use the Gaeta olives, but now actually Kalamata is so much easier to get, more reliably, honestly. So I use Kalamata also. Some, if you have fresh parsley, fresh parsley. If you don't have fresh parsley, a good couple pinches of oregano, some olive oil, and a can of tuna, flaked up into the. You don't have to put the tuna in right away. So you do the tomato. By the way, in the summer when I do use basil when I have it, so you know you just let that sit all day with oil and a little. You don't even need much salt, if any, because. The capers have some salt, even if you soak them. And maybe a big pinch of hot red pepper flakes. I like that. And you let it sit all, whenever you're ready to eat it, you add the can of tuna flaked up. And you have, and by the way, that's enough. For two people, that's enough with 6 ounces of pasta. Everybody's telling me, oh, that's not enough pasta. Let me tell you, weigh out 6 ounces of pasta, cook it up with this amount of sauce, or condiment, as an Italian would say, you've got plenty of food, and the tuna adds enough protein to make it like all a meal in one. By the way, a whole can of light tuna only has about, I don't know, 300 calories? That's a 7-ounce can, so a 5-ounce can has less. It's a very economical thing, too, even as expensive as it's gotten. So I've been cooking, to change the subject. I've been cooking from my first cookbook, Cooking in a Small Kitchen, which, as I mentioned last week and before that, is being republished, reissued this month. The official pub date is the 29th of May. I have an early copy. It is, I guess, a photographic reproduction of the original book. I've been asked on Facebook and elsewhere, did I make changes in the book? And the answer is I was not allowed to because, like I say, this is like a photographic reproduction of the book. But it's like visiting old friends, these recipes. I'd forgotten about some of them. The other day I made something I called, back in 1978, Mediterranean skillet dinner. If we remember back to the 70s and the early mid-70s, skillet dinners were a big thing, but not like homemade yourself in a skillet, but they were mixes that you bought in the supermarket. It was like, add a pound of ground meat to this kind of mix. Had the seasoning packets, and I don't even remember what was in them. Well, that was pretty good, by the way. It was ground meat with eggplant, this Mediterranean skillet dinner that I made. It was ground meat with eggplant and tomato and spices that made it taste like moussaka. It was that Middle Eastern, Greek, allspice, a touch of cinnamon, and the tomato. It all just came together. It was very nice for a midweek, very quick meal. But one recipe that I really do remember the whole story, and I can almost taste it, but not, was the Linzertort recipe in Cooking in a Small Kitchen. And I don't tell this story in the book, but the story behind this recipe is that I was a personal friend of Ed Koch, before he became mayor. And in fact, his mayoralty race was hatched in my apartment. He and his cohorts, I don't have to name them all right now, most of them are actually dead now, they all used to meet in my apartment on Sunday mornings. And sometimes I knew they were coming, and sometimes it was impromptu. And on one of these impromptu Sunday mornings, telling me I had six people coming for brunch, I ran to a place in Soho called OJ Dining Rooms, or it was OG Dining Rooms, I don't remember. It was not a fancy restaurant, it was a very simple place. This was in the days when Soho was really, we're talking about the mid-70s, Soho was still an artist's colony and had affordable lofts for people who couldn't afford rent. Anyway, I ran to OG Dining Room and I bought a Linzer Tort because I loved their Linzer Tort. And I served it. I didn't say, oh, I bought this at OG Dining Rooms. And then again, I didn't say, oh, I made this myself. Well, everybody was raving about this Linzer Tort. And Koch said, I need the recipe, like he was really going to make it. I knew he wouldn't. But, you know, that was his way of complimenting me, was I need the recipe. Now I figure I need the recipe. So I went to OG Dining Rooms, and I wheedled out of them the recipe. I don't remember how I did that. And the result is in cooking in a small kitchen. So I had to make this. I made it. You know what? The recipe works, but it's not my taste anymore. It had too much jam in it. So for me, it was too sweet. I will definitely, I have to add that a couple days after I made this, we went to one of our favorite restaurants in the neighborhood. It's Austrian food. And I always thought they had the greatest Linzer Tort. So I ordered the Linzer, since I had just made one, I thought, oh, let me compare them. Since I love theirs, I'll compare theirs to mine. I liked mine better. The dough itself has some spices in it and a touch of cocoa that really gives it dimension that my favorite restaurant's Linzer Tort does not. But what they got right and I didn't is the amount of filling. So if you make this, by the way, I have to add, it's an extremely difficult dough to handle. You press the bottom part of it, you just press into a 10-inch springform pan, so that works out easily enough. But then you have to make ropes with the rest of the dough, and the dough needs to be very well chilled. But eventually I did get ropes. After it was all baked together, it looked great. I went out and bought a fresh jar of raspberry jam to put in the filling, and I actually used the whole jar. I mean, the recipe calls for 1 cup. I don't know. 3/4 of a cup is enough. I think I was a little over the top with that. I mean, the dough itself, which I tasted baked, is not that sweet. So this overwhelming sweetness had to have come from too much jam. So that was my little cooking thing. So there are so many recipes in here. Yeah, go ahead.
No, all I want to know is, do you think the sweetness is a factor, or?
I think that my taste is different now.
Right.
I mean, I think all our taste.
Exactly. So do you think people should?
They would just reduce the amount of raspberry if you're going to make it. It's a good recipe.
Yeah.
And by the way, this ended up to be true in the recipe, and maybe I should have said it more emphatically in the recipe, but this unquestionably tastes better the second day. So even though we tasted it, as soon as it had cooled down and it tasted good, I insisted on we hide it until the next day. And the next day it did taste better because these spices in the dough, you know, sort of meld and whatever. And the dough crisps up, because when it's fresh out of the oven, the dough is not as firm as I like it to be. But if you let it stand out, I mean, don't even cover it. I just let it sit on the counter overnight. It was a nice thing to wake up to, I have to say. And the next day, the next day after that, it was even better, I thought. But by that time, I'd given away most of it, so we only had a little bit to taste. In any case, in that respect, it's a good thing to make if you're having some people over for coffee or whatever. You can make it a couple of days ahead.
Not having tuna, but...
Yeah, we're going out for dim sum today, actually, because I have friends visiting from Portland, Oregon, And we like to think of Portland as being a real food capital these days, but it ends up they don't have good Chinese food, according to my friends who've lived there most of their adult life. And so we're going for a dim sum meal.
All right. All right.
So I will have a light breakfast.
All right. Thank you for the tips.
Come to Brooklyn and come to dim sum with me.
Yeah.
I'd love
to
do that.
We have better dim sum parlors here than they do in Manhattan Chinatown. I don't know really about Flushing Chinatown. I'm sure there's some great places. But there's actually one here in Brooklyn that gets a Michelin star. So
one day you're going to be sorry there's going to be a knock at your door and it's going to
be me. No, I won't be sorry. I look forward
to it. You keep
that.
Threatening.
I'm not inviting everybody who's listening, but select few, yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Good luck with that. All right.
Take care.
Take care. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robinhood Radio. And, of course, you can hear Arthur every Monday morning right here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio. Also on demand at robinhoodradio.com on demand. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton, Flawless Catering and Event Planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Groceries on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.